17. Cultivation. There can be little question concerning the importance of balance, so vital in the mechanical, physical, aesthetic, and spiritual realms. Faulty balance often results in disintegration and possible devastation to the surrounding area. Our self-life is out of balance. It's all one-sided, like the universal tea party. I had a little tea party one afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests in all. Just I, myself, and me. Myself ate up the sandwiches while I drank up the tea. 'Twas also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me. Because he is the great husbandman, the beginning of God's cultivation of the hungry-hearted believer is downward. Patiently, persistently, and painfully our Father digs down into the recesses of self, more and more fully revealing to us just what we are and are not in ourselves. His reason for the preparation is twofold: that the Lord Jesus might be free to manifest himself in us, and through us for the sake of others, growing and sharing. The Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Isaiah 58, verse 11. Each of us must be thoroughly cultivated before we can effectively cultivate others through us. It is not that there will be no service for us until we're spiritually mature, but that most of our service on the way to maturity is for our own development and not so much for that of others. At first, the growing believer thinks and would have others feel that all his service is effective. But in time he comes to realise that the Lord is not doing so much through him as he is in him. Our Lord always concentrates on the greater need. Since the work of God is essentially spiritual, it demands spiritual people for its doing. And the measure of their spirituality will determine the measure of their value to the Lord. Because this is so, in God's mind, the servant is more than the work. If we are going to come truly into the hands of God for his purpose, then we shall be dealt with by him in such a way as to continually increase our spiritual measure. Not our interest in Christian work, or our energies, enthusiasm or ambitions, or our abilities, not our academic qualifications, or anything at all that is in ourselves, but simply our spiritual life is the basis of the beginning and the growth of our service to God. Even the work, when we're in it, even the work is used by him to increase our spiritual measure. It is a mistake to measure spiritual maturity merely by the presence of gifts. By themselves, they're inadequate basis for man's lasting influence to God. They may be present and they may be valuable, but the Spirit's object is something far greater, and that's to form Christ in us through the working of the cross. His goal is to see Christ inwrought in believers. So it's not merely that a man does certain things or speaks certain words, but that he is a certain kind of man. He himself is what he preaches. Too many want to preach without being the thing themselves, but in the long run it is what we are, and not simply what we do or say that matters with God, and the difference lies in the formation of Christ within. We are not saved to serve, we are matured to serve. Only to the extent that cultivation reveals self for what it is, are we in the position to assist others in their cultivation. We find out everyone else by first finding out ourselves. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Proverbs 27:19. To counterbalance knowledge of self, our Father enables us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. This is not only true concerning general service, but also in the matter of our ministry of intercession. More than anything else, the service of prayer for others necessitates a triune understanding, that of the Father, of ourselves, and of others. Praying for others can only flow from a heart at rest about itself, and one that knows the value of the desires which it expresses for another. That was a quote from Stoney, and he finishes by saying, "I couldn't be happy praying any other way." Paul wrote that he would pray with the Spirit, that he would pray by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but that I will pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. So many of us, after having entered into some of the deeper realities of our Lord, seek to immediately push or pull others into this wonderful advancement. And then we wonder why they're so slow to learn and seemingly apathetic in their understanding and concern. We so easily forget the many years it took and what wandering wilderness ways our Lord had to traverse with us to bring us over the Jordan and into Canaan. Moses had all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and yet his idea of delivering Egypt was to slay an Egyptian. He had to be trained in God's ways, having 40 years in Midian, and when he was sent back to Egypt, God said to him not to trouble about Israel, to go straight to Pharaoh, the cause of their chains. God didn't train Israel at first, but a leader to lead Israel. God seeks to get leaders trained in the knowledge of his ways. To the extent that we learn how the Father has had to handle us through the years, will we understand how he would have us share with others? We must be cultivated to be cultivators. It is injurious for one believer to be forcing another into blessings which that soul may not be ready for. Forced advance really gives the enemy his opportunity to mislead. For those who try to rush on at the push of others cannot stand alone, nor bear the tests of their assumed positions. Then, too, in all our service, there is the proper motive to be considered. Work should be regarded less with reference to its immediate result or as to how it may affect this or that person. The great question is this: will it, when sifted in his presence, will it be acceptable to him? And this acceptability to him is my reward. Wherefore we labour that, whether present or absent, we may be acceptable to him. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9. Many seem to droop because there are no grapes and they're not happy unless they are doing. Well, doing's right enough in itself. But the order ought to be from happiness to work, not from work to being happy. It is from the inner circle, from the hive, from the heart where Christ reigns. The only green spot, the fond enclosure, the sanctuary. It is from that place that one should come forth to work. The quality of one's work depends on the nature of one's rest. And the rest should be like his own, known and enjoyed with him. We have but small ideas of how our outward bears the colour of the inward. And if our inward is not restful, there cannot be a rest-imparting service, however it may be attempted. But do remember this, that the greatest proof of our love for Christ is that we care for those who belong to him. Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep."